Leadership matters. Everybody's talented. Can you lead?
Let's talk about a tough topic, leadership in sports. I wrote down notes because this is hard for me to talk about. So Monday, January 3rd, and I'll put a news article in the notes if I'm the one breaking the news because it's a terrible thing. Damar Hamlin went down with what looked like possibly a life-threatening injury. And this was more context, NFL, Broncos, Bengals. I just said Broncos, Bills, Bengals. I'm a big Bronco fan. A lot of listeners know that. And they're both fighting for like number one seed, trying to get to the top of the ranking. It's statistically an important game. And a player, DeMar, goes down with a life-threatening injury. We see Sean McDermott of the Bills and Zach Taylor basically talking, and they're deciding we're not going to play today. Yeah. We are not going to play when someone just got hurt with this possibly season career ending injury right in front of our eyes. I haven't talked about this publicly, so I'm struggling. I want to give you space to kind of just say what's ever on your mind. How do you feel about what happened there? But what's more important is how do you feel about those two coaches and the way they led their teams and they made decisions in that scenario? What are your thoughts on what happened there?
I couldn't be more proud of how they, as coaches, as leaders, and how the NFL handled that situation. One, we talk about injuries. I've been on the field where my friends, my teammates have been hurt, have been injured. I've also been on the field, and I mean massive, like snapping bone injuries where people are vomiting next to them because the crack, you're not used to hearing that. I've been on the field where friends of mine have had their jersey cut off and carted off an ambulance. This was beyond an injury. When people say he got hurt or an injury, that's beyond that. We're talking about life or death. And you know, you don't play the game to ever intentionally hurt someone or to see someone die. I was watching the game when it happened. And immediately, from the looks on the players' faces, you knew this was different. From the look on the doctors' faces, and kudos to them, that medical team that ran out there and cared for DeMar. I've never seen the look on doctors' faces on TV like that. So you knew this was significantly different. In Seven Ways to Lead, I talk about how to be a CEO. And I break down the C, the E, and the O. And the C, the first thing is care. It's care for your people. And caring means that you're curious enough to know what they need, but having the intuition to follow through with unpopular decisions. So the magnitude of the game, the money, the how do we replace what's going to come on TV now and all of that, those coaches got together and the leaders of the NFL got together and cared for their people. They cared for DeMar. They cared for their players. They saw how their players were responding and reacting. They cared about the fans. They cared about the NFL. And they were intuitive to say that this is not appropriate to play this game today. You'll have to play it at some time, but not today, not right now. And it was really great to see that human nature of, because I don't think a lot of people get to see. And then they say, well, you know, and then we can argue and debate what players shouldn't make this type of money. Listen, we now see that players put their life on the line to do their dream and entertain. So, I think they did an amazing job, and I hope I answered your question with that.
You did. I wanted to hear your perspective as a trained leader that helps other leaders. It blows my mind. People are looking at their phone. Where's my phone? Looking at their phone, looking at their fantasy roster, seeing that they have Josh Allen in it, and getting all up in arms. But in a scenario like that, everything else drops, right?
It does, because as a as a leader sometimes, and as a player, as a former player, and those of you listening who played sports, you may agree with me on this. We get very good at being able to compartmentalize things. As a player, you see this individual playing on Saturday or Sunday or whatever day your favorite sport plays. We have no idea what they go through in their life. They could be going through the midst of a divorce. They may be just lost a loved one. They may be just got traded. And they just, I tell people all the time, when you get traded, you might find out that you were traded before you even knew you were traded. And then all of a sudden you got to leave sunny Miami to go to cold Green Bay. Your kids don't want to go with you because they're in high school or moving on and don't want to leave their friends. So now you're on the plane. You don't even have time to argue with your wife or whatever they may be feeling. And you got to compartmentalize that, because daggone it, you got a game on Sunday. You have a game today. So you compartmentalize. And the NFL and these coaches didn't compartmentalize. And some players could not compartmentalize that. I've played on the field with traumatic injuries, and then within 15 minutes, compartmentalized, and we got to go play this game. So the intuitive nature that these leaders showed, you know, and prayers to DeMar and his family and his friends. It was a hard thing to watch, and only, you know, praying and hoping the best for him and his family.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. You're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset. Learn and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. What's going on? Welcome again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Andre Young. Andre, what's up, man? How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me on. And you guys listening, thank you for letting me steal some time out of your day here today.
Hey, Andre's stealing time, but every moment's going to be worthwhile, because I actually didn't mention this to you. I don't know if you know this or not. I saw you at Justin Shank's Growth Now Summit, and Justin had Andre start the night off because the energy and passion he brings for the conversation on business, leadership, life, dude, it just flows right out of you, man. So I'm honored to have you here.
Thank you so much. And it was an honor doing the Growth Now Summit. Justin's a great friend of mine. And it was nice to be able to do things at home to an audience that normally doesn't get to hear me speak. So it was really cool.
Oh, yeah. So you're from that area? What was that, PA?
Yeah. So Lititz, Lancaster, Reading, Berks County area here in PA. And people will ask me, how can I hear you speak? And I typically say, well, you really can't, because organizations and companies bring me in. Mm-hmm. So it was a different type of audience than I usually speak with, and in a different type of venue. So it was nice to be able to do that at home. And some of the attendees there were knew me and know me from when I first started my company and what it's become. So they haven't heard me speak in years. And it was nice to be able to do that.
Love it. I'm going to give a little bit of context for the listeners at home, because they get to hear you speak on this podcast now. Andre, he's a transformational speaker, author, leadership trainer, and founder of You Evolving Now. After a incredible career as an athlete and then working in mental health as a therapist for 19 years. He is on a newer path at U Evolving Now, helping enhance leadership and work-life harmony. Love that term, work-life harmony, for your organization, leaders, employees, and teams with his high energy, interactive, and culture-changing speaking engagements and training. I'm learning how to read, my friend. You are evolving everyone, professional and personally, and you are about to evolve everybody that's listening today. I'm going to set the standards high. We're going to change lives, even if it's just a direct pivot. Let's help someone change their life today.
I'm all in. Let's do it.
So I like to start with, wow, Andre's such a cool guy, but it wasn't always like that. Any nosebleeds coming to where you are today? Tell me a little bit about that come up.
Oh, wow. Well, that's an interesting question, and I love it because people ask me, how did you become who you are and doing what you do? And I said, a lot of pain. And we both typically giggle, but it is a lot of pain. I've been on both sides of a lot of things. Okay. So I'll go way back, but I won't stay there. But I was a nerd kid growing up. I like staying in the house. I like doing art and projects and all of those different things. My mom used to punish me by kicking me outside, you know? And, then I became more social and I picked up a football and I fell in love with it. I married it on the spot. So now, you know, I'm an athlete, and you said I was a great athlete. I like to say I was a good athlete and accomplished more than most. But I've had friends that were, you know, God himself just touched them to be a football player. You know, I felt like I had to work hard at what I did, and I started late, so I didn't have as much experience. You know, I've been a great employee. I have been the world's worst employee due to burning out of a job.
I have been
a good husband. I have been a bad husband. I have been divorced. I am now remarried. And hopefully my wife would say I'm a great husband. You know, that's my goal every day I wake up, to be great in every role that I play and have fun doing it. No sense in being great if you're not having fun doing it. And too many people are having fun and not being great. I have been promoted to positions of leadership and been a manager before I knew how to lead. And now hopefully the people that I lead will say I'm a great leader. So I've been on both sides of a lot of things. I have been an athlete that got accolades. You know, my last stint as an athlete, I got cut, you know, so it's, you know, being on both sides of a lot of things and choosing to keep your eyes wide open while going through it. Most people want to cringe and turn away from pain or deflect or blame. No, as leaders, we got to look at it, because it cannot hurt more than the first time you stare at your defeat, at your failure, at your mishaps. Look at it, stare at it. And we get to say to ourselves, I got to say to me, okay, what did I do great? What did I do good? What did I do wrong? What am I learning from it? What is the lesson that I've learned? And what and how am I going to implement it moving forward, starting now? And not because I'm going to get what I want, not because or if somebody does this or that, I'm going to do it because I want to be great. And I don't ever want to feel this way again. So let's go.
Let's go. Let's talk about one of those examples. So accolades as an athlete to being cut. You just gave us insight on what to do and how to be grateful, even if you're getting cut. But when you go from accolades, you know, something that's part of your identity, to getting cut, was it easy just to flip a switch and then be like, okay, let's go? Like, what did that feel like? What was your process to kind of get through that situation?
Well, there was two times sports-wise that really stood out for me. So one, coming out of college, especially in the late 90s, so 99, you know, I was coming out of a Division II college. I had played a lot, but I didn't start until my senior year. Then I had some injuries. So going to the NFL was my dream. And you go to the combines and things like that. But there was no, you know, interest. And to be very honest, I didn't have the confidence at that time to make that transition. So, you know, I outsmarted myself. So the New England Patriots scouts come, I'm looking at my body type. I am a linebacker division two, and I got the heart of a lion, but in the body of something else. So, you know, I didn't have the body for the prototypical NFL linebacker, so I changed my position. Tip, never change what you're great at.
Mm.
Go ahead and do what you're great at, and then let who's noticing you make modifications afterwards. Okay. So for me, look, do what you do, and then let them say, hey, let's do this. So now they know what you know, they know what you don't know, and they'll grant you more patience, not a lot at the NFL level, but they'll grant you a little bit more patience because they know you're learning. So I switched my position, and it just was a bombed. So it was a transition coming out of college, and like, okay, I wanted to play in the NFL, you know, for years. This is not happening. So I got a job. So my thing is, when I tell people all the time, when you don't know what to do, simply live right. Do all of the things you're supposed to do at a high level, and people will notice and opportunities will come. So I'm working in a mental health facility, working on a residential unit. Show up to work every day. Show up to work early. Do a heck of a job. Build connections. Enhance your communication. Say yes to things and learn things. Now all of a sudden, I'm one of the people leading the unit. I'm one of the people getting opportunities. So when you don't know what to do, simply live right. So when you do know what comes, an opportunity comes, you don't have to climb out of a hole that you dug for yourself. Now, 8 years passed, and I'm at the gym. And this gentleman comes up to me, and he's complimenting me on, you know, my body. You look like you play football. And I'm like, no, that's way over. I'm about 29 years old. I'm good. And he keeps following me around, Ben. You guys listening, follow me around the gym. So to the point, I'm getting concerned. Like, what's going on here? So he winds up being a coach for an arena team. I reluctantly agreed to let this man train me. I made the team. It was an awesome experience. I'm 29, about to be 30 years old. I ran my fastest 40 time ever. It was great. When you're 30 years old and you run a 4.37 40,
whew, that's fast.
Typically in sports,
yeah,
you run 2.40s. When you're 30 years old and run a 4.3, don't run your second. Shut it down, because on my second, I blew my hamstring.
Oh, man.
They still, you know, signed me to the team, but 5 weeks into it, you know, I just couldn't get healthy. I blew it again 3 weeks later, and so it was cut. And it doesn't happen the way you think, you know. It's over a phone call, voicemail, and it's that easy, you know. But to be very honest, you got to know who you are. And success is going to provide one of three situations. You get to your level of success, and it's exactly the way you thought it was going to be, but you're not the person you need to be to keep it or enjoy it.
Mm.
Option two, you get it, and it's not what you thought it was going to be, and now it could be depressing, lonely. Or it's exactly the way you want to be, but in time, just like everything, change is coming, and it's going to blindside you sometimes. Leaders anticipate that. Okay, so for me, I was playing football at that level, but to be honest, I was 30 years old, and I was kind of okay with not playing. I liked the idea of it, but my body was changing. I had three kids at that time. I'm sharing the locker room with 23-year-olds that are thinking different things than me and healing much faster than me. So when that happened, you know, I was okay with the transition because I had some other things that I cared about, from family, my profession. I was a mental health therapist at that time as well. And I was built to be doing something different.
You were built for something new, something different.
Something new and something different. And it was okay.
So tell me, is that kind of where work-life harmony comes into play? Riff on that, because it sounds like, sure, the third category, or even pivoting from a scenario that served you at one point in time to a new, different scenario that serves you better today. Is that a little bit about what work-life harmony means? And everybody's heard work-life balance. Sure. I guess, sure, let's talk about the problem with work-life balance, and then tell me a little bit more about work-life harmony.
Well, definitely. I'm going to get into work-life harmony second, because based on what we're talking about, me transitioning or you guys listening, transitioning. You have a dream. You have a passion. That's great. I do not dream kill anything or anybody. And I say this to my kids. I say this to athletes. I say this to employees, leaders. You have a passion. Go at it. Marry it. Make vows to it. That's great. Please do that. I also believe in expanding plan A. I do not believe in plan B. No one wants to live their plan B life. No one I know wants to have their plan B wife or husband, their plan B job, right? Who wants that? I hate when people say plan B. No, expand your plan A. So whatever it is that you're doing, what else are you interested in? So if plan A that you have started and thought about ended tomorrow, COVID, remember that? For athletes, I hate saying you're an injury away. So I tell my sons, you play for 20 years in the NFL. You have more Super Bowls than Tom Brady. You will still retire younger than I am now. So what do you want to do when you're finished? So whatever your answer to that is, start learning about it. Mm. Read about it. Study it. Get involved in it. Do whatever it is. You can do it slowly. It doesn't have to be big. But when whatever you're doing is over or it's time to transition, it's all a part of plan A. So that's why I say expand plan A. My thing for work-life harmony came about because work-life balance is a lie. You want to stress yourself out faster than anything else, attempt to get perfect work-life balance. So work-life balance means everything you do has this great order to it, this certain amount, all of these things, and it's adverse to change. Because the truth is, the people in your life may not need you the way you think they need you or the time that you want to give. So it's not about having this equal and perfect amount of time for everything and everyone in your life. It's creating harmony by knowing what each person that you care about and each task that needs you, what they need most from you right now. And you create a marriage. I call it a leader's marriage. Mm. Marry what you want to do and give with what the person receiving your effort needs most from you right now. And that means that we're curious enough to know, not assume. So Ben, hey, you're a best friend of mine. Hey, what do you need most from me right now? Hey, wife, what do you need most from me right now? Hey, kids, what do you need most from me right now? Because we'll drive ourselves crazy with this Superman or Superwoman cape that we put on. And we're flying around town and in our lives, professionally or personally, at mock speed, trying to do everything. Everything may not be needed. And why we're doing everything may be an issue. Mm. Okay. So creating that marriage, I have four kids and run two businesses. I have no work-life balance. However, I have a whole lot of work-life harmony because I know what my wife needs and wants from me most. I know what each kid wants and needs from me most. I know what my business require from me most. And that I can put that in my life. I can put that in my calendar. And things are, it creates harmony.
Powerful. And I'm going to pull it up real quick. I'm reading Seven Ways to Lead right now. And the reason this came to mind is, honestly, Andre, I was going through. So for anyone who hasn't read it yet, the chapters are short, sweet. They're motivational. I can read one in a couple minutes and then just leave the door and go live my life, because if I just read it all in one sitting, I mean, am I going to implement any of the lessons? And that just came to mind because topics like this and ultimately just short motivational segments are just flooded in the book. So I'm thinking, like, I'm getting one of these ways to lead live on this podcast right now. But I'm a book behind. You've got a new book that just came out recently as well, too, right?
Yes. Thank you. It's called The Leader's Toolbox. And that book is written in the same format because I believe things need to be easy to do, easier to do, and common sense in short bites. We're all too busy to sit down and read a manuscript of you know, this detail. Like, I don't like fluff.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to lead with my intuition when I wrote both of those books. I was speaking at an event many years ago when I first started, and I had a gentleman tell me who was running the event, you know, you give a lot of information. You could really chunk it down and that, that. And my intuition says, no, I want to give. I want to give it all. Now, people may not do it all, but I want to give a lot. So the Leader's Toolbox is a little bit different from Seven Ways to Lead, where Seven Ways to Lead, anybody can pick up. Well, whether you're the CEO of a company, a frontline worker, unemployed, sitting on the couch, husband, father, son, daughter, my 15-year-old is reading it now. And it can, I believe that it can impact anyone professionally, personally, work-life harmony, and personal leadership. Now, there's a way four is the daily leadership skills it takes to effectively lead a team. The Leader's Toolbox is all of that. So it's expanding on way four. So you have to pretty much be in a position of leadership or desire to be for the Leader's Toolbox to be for you. So, you know, I really have fallen in love, you know, with that book. And then when I get to go into organizations or conferences, you have two books for two different levels, you know, a professional. So it's really been a powerful thing. And I'm just beyond humbled and honored that people around the world, I was just on a chat with someone in India, and they have the book, and they're showing me the picture, and it's amazing. I can't believe I get to do this.
It is amazing. And so what's great is it is great marketing to have these two books, but you get to affect anyone who needs help with Seven Ways to Lead. And it isn't fluff there. I'm thinking every one of these chapters, you could have turned into a full book, but it would have just been case studies and fluff. And then it sounds like the toolbox is specifically for someone maybe in a higher level leading a team. So for that specific need.
Yeah. Or who desires to be. Like I talk with a lot of companies and they spend so much time and money on their emerging leaders, but there's someone on the front line that wants to lead. And it'd be great that they knew how before they get there. Because most people are promoted all the wrong way or accept promotions all the wrong way. So here's an example. You sell $1 million worth of product at your job.
Sales manager.
Boom. They will inevitably make you the sales manager or offer it. And it doesn't mean you know how to lead anyone. Right. The job, once you accept the promotion, is no longer sales. It's doing the people. Leading the people that do your old job, plus your new administrative tasks. It's a whole different job. And then the person receiving the promotion, most people don't know how to turn down a promotion. How do you turn down and go home and tell your family you're not going to accept more money, more security, and a higher title? So most people accept it. So the toolbox, in a position of leadership, you're an emerging leader or desire to be. And even if you're in sports, I mean, look, leadership matters. Leadership matters. Everybody's talented. Can you lead?
Well, let's talk about a tough topic, leadership in sports. I wrote down notes because this is hard for me to talk about. So Monday, January 3rd. And I'll put a news article in the notes if I'm the one breaking the news, because it's a terrible thing. Damar Hamlin went down with what looked like possibly a life-threatening injury. And this was more context, NFL, Broncos, Bengals. I just said Broncos, Bills, Bengals. I'm a big Bronco fan. A lot of listeners know that. And they're both fighting for number one seed, trying to get to the top of the ranking. It's statistically an important game. And a player, DeMar, goes down with a life-threatening injury. We see Sean McDermott of the Bills and Zach Taylor basically talking, and they're deciding, we're not going to play today. Yeah. We are not going to play when someone just got hurt with this possibly season career ending injury right in front of our eyes. I haven't talked about this publicly, so I'm struggling. I want to give you space to kind of just say what's ever on your mind? How do you feel about what happened there? But what's more important is, how do you feel about those two coaches and the way they led their teams and they made decisions in that scenario? What are your thoughts on what happened there?
I couldn't be more proud of how they, as coaches, as leaders, and how the NFL handled that situation. One, we talk about injuries. I've been on the field where my friends, my teammates have been hurt, have been injured. I've also been on the field, and I mean massive, like snapping bone injuries where people are vomiting next to them because the crack, you're not used to hearing that. Mm. I've been on the field where friends of mine have had their jersey cut off and carted off in an ambulance. This was beyond an injury. When people say he got hurt or an injury, that's beyond that. We're talking about life or death. And you know, you don't play the game to ever intentionally hurt someone or to see someone die. I was watching the game when it happened, and immediately from the looks on the players' faces, you knew this was different. From the look on the doctors' faces, and kudos to them, that medical team that ran out there and cared for DeMar. I've never seen the look on doctors' faces on TV like that. So you knew this was significantly different. In Seven Ways to Lead, I talk about how to be a CEO. And I break down the C, the E, and the O. And the C, the first thing is care. It's care for your people. And caring means that you're curious enough to know what they need, but having the intuition to follow through with unpopular decisions. So the magnitude of the game, the money, the how do we replace what's going to come on TV now and all of that, those coaches got together and the leaders of the NFL got together and cared for their people. They cared for DeMar. They cared for their players. They saw how their players were responding and reacting. They cared about the fans. They cared about the NFL. And they were intuitive to say that this is not appropriate to play this game today. You'll have to play it at some time, but not today, not right now. And it was really great to see that human nature of, because I don't think a lot of people get to see. And then they say, well, you know, and we can argue and debate what players shouldn't make this type of money. Listen, we now see that players put their life on the line to do their dream and entertain. So I think they did an amazing job, and I hope I answered your question with that.
You did. I wanted to hear your perspective as a trained leader that helps other leaders. It blows my mind. People are looking at their phone. Where's my phone? Looking at their phone, looking at their fantasy roster, seeing that they have Josh Allen in it, and getting all up in arms. But in a scenario like that, everything else drops, right?
It does, because as a as a leader sometimes, and as a player, as a former player, and those of you listening who played sports, you may agree with me on this. We get very good at being able to compartmentalize things. As a player, you see this individual playing on Saturday or Sunday or whatever day your favorite sport plays. We have no idea what they go through in their life. They could be going through the midst of a divorce. They may be just lost a loved one. They may be just got traded. And they just, I tell people all the time, when you get traded, you might find out that you were traded before you even knew you were traded. And then all of a sudden you got to leave sunny Miami to go to cold Green Bay. Your kids don't want to go with you because they're in high school or moving on and don't want to leave their friends. So now you're on the plane. You don't even have time to argue with your wife or whatever they may be feeling. And you got to compartmentalize that, because daggone it, you got a game on Sunday. You have a game today. So you compartmentalize. And the NFL and these coaches didn't compartmentalize. And some players could not compartmentalize that. I've played on the field with traumatic injuries, and then within 15 minutes, compartmentalize, and we got to go play this game. So the intuitive nature that these leaders showed, you know, and prayers to DeMar and his family and his friends. It was a hard thing to watch, and only, you know, praying and hoping the best for him and his family.
Amen to that. So that scenario's probably never going to happen to any of us, but when we're in a scenario that possibly is life-threatening, career-threatening, just shaking it up, and we need to be a leader, what are your thoughts on what's going on? Like, even talking about this, I'm feeling like a physiological difference. I'm almost feeling the flight where it's like I have this fear. What can we do in those stressful scenarios to be the best leader we can, no matter what's happening in our lives?
Right. That's a great question. And in times of high stress and crisis like that, one of the first things that we have to do is, you know, self-regulate ourselves. Okay. So it's our emotions do matter. However, we need to focus in on regulating ourselves, being present in the moment. And then number two, I would say to listen. Listen. There's reading the room. What's going on? Listen to what people are saying. That, are you asking proper questions? Hey, are you looking around in that moment? You're looking around at the players and you see how distraught they are. So one, I've regulated myself. Now I'm reading the room. I'm looking at everybody else and how they're processing this. I'm asking questions on what you believe would be best. I'm accepting information from other people. And now I'm going to make a intuitive decision based on what's best. And some people may love it. Some people may not love it. Can you sleep at peace at night? Can you put your head on the pillow in peace for the rest of your life, being okay with the decision that you made and why you made it? So all of that happens very, very quickly. But the better you are at it, the better you can lead through it.
Let's expand it, because when that happens, it is happening so quickly. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the daily practices, weekly, monthly practices we get to do to position ourselves to be more comfortable in those high octane, like, I need to be intuitive. I need to make the best possible decision.
Right.
You can't really just roll out of bed one day and start making great decisions, can you? Like, how do I work my way up? And I can start right now, but how can I work myself up to be better?
Well, there's two things that come to mind. One, you need a framework. So whatever decision you make really does matter. It's just not willy-nilly. You know what I mean? So one of the things that I say to myself when I wake up every single morning, I'll be fair, Monday through Friday, on the weekends, the I take off. Okay. Yeah. So Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday, before my feet hit the ground, I say, let's be great and have some fun doing it. And I ask myself what my wins are for today. What are my wins for today? So before my feet hit the ground, I'm prepared to be great. I'm prepared to have fun. And I want to know what my wins are. Most people get up and they're on autopilot, Groundhog Day, doing the same thing and then accepting what the day brings to them. Yeah. I bring it to the day. Okay. So when I get to my office and I pop open my laptop, I write down my list of things I get to do today. But at the top, I write down wins. So always be mindful of what your wins are. The second thing, when you want to make great decisions, especially in times of crisis, is to know what your vision and vision factors are. What's your vision for leading your team or your life or your relationship? And I'll give an example. And then the vision factors. Most people don't have a clear vision. Those that do, I'm sure, most do not know their vision factors. And those are the 3 to 5 things that when you do them consistently, the vision takes care of itself.
Mm.
So I'm going to give a quick example of mine, both professionally or personally, and how it works in making decisions. Professionally, here's my vision. I want to be the best in the world in my space of leadership and work-life harmony, getting wealthy in time and money. No shame in liking money, Ben and you guys. With ideas I create in the company that I run. That's my vision. And you asked me this question. I didn't even know you were going to ask it, but do you see how fast I rattled it off? If you can't rattle yours off, better get to work. What's your vision?
Right.
The vision factors, the 3 things I know I need to do to make this happen is I need to create great content, whether it's books, videos, online programs, whatever it is. I need to create great content. I need to network appropriately. Everybody's not for me or for you. Where are your people and what do they need most from you and how do they want to receive what you have to give? Number three, I need to create passive income opportunities. So I focus on these three things, not my vision. So when somebody brings up something or when a crisis comes or I have to make a decision, if it doesn't fit my vision factors, it's a no. Or it's a not right now, and this is why. Here's my vision factors, and right now we're not aligned. Now, can your idea be fit inside the vision factors? Can you come up with that? Or no, because of this. So people might not like your no, but they'll respect it because you know where you're going. Personally, for my relationship, I love my wife. My vision is to be that 80-year-old couple that's in the grocery store and we're walking down the aisle and I'm squeezing her backside. You've done a lot of things right if you can be married for 40 plus years, walking and squeezing at 80 years old. My goal, my vision. But what the heck does it take to make it happen? My vision factors is one, I need to know her love language and I need to ask it every year because it can change. The last thing I want to be doing is speaking her old language. Okay. I need to celebrate her and her successes. We do not compete with each other. We build with each other. And although I don't know everything about her business, you don't know everything about mine. I want to know what's going on so I know what to celebrate with her and for her.
Right.
And three, I have four kids. My wife and I have one together. I need to do, and why would I do anything different? I need to do for our daughter the way I do for my other three kids. You know, so she doesn't ever have to compare. You do this and this. It may not be equal. However, it's harmony based on what's needed and at a high level. Right? I have a 23-year-old. A 23-year-old doesn't need the same thing that a 3-year-old does. You know, so it's those are my vision factors. So any decision that I have to make, if it's not in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. You need to have a foundation. And once you have a foundation of what you stand for, what you know is needed, and what you know works, it's easier to make decisions. Sean McDermott from the Bills, his vision may be to care for his players. If you're not caring for your players, you don't have buy-in. His vision factors may be different. But when it's time to make that decision to call the game, I'm sure it fit within his philosophy of coaching and connecting and caring.
Right. So if people want more Andre in their life, we want to support you. And we're going to go rapid fire in a second, but I wanted to ask because I can't really support you in your marriage. That's up to you, my friend. But in terms of business, you meant, you know, you're creating content, networking, and passive streams of income. Is me specifically, I'm asking for myself, but anyone else listening, how can we support you kind of accomplish those vision factors? What's the best way to keep in touch and do that?
You know, it's one is to know your vision. What do you want to get out of life professionally or personally? When my content is something that can help you, great. You can go to youevolvingnow.com. That's Y-O-U evolvingnow.com. And there's something there for everyone, whether there's some free videos, whether it's the books that you want to get and get it anywhere you want books, but you can go to the website, Amazon, wherever. Maybe it's speaking engagements and leadership trainings for your organization. Maybe it's one-on-one growth sessions that you want to do. I don't promote that I do them a lot, but I do. I do them secretly. and then there's something that me and my team just put together, and I'm so honored to be able to do it. We updated my Evolve and Lead online training program. Because as a speaker and as a trainer, when I come in, I don't stay in. I might be there for an hour, 3 hours, or 10 times, but then I'm not there anymore.
Right.
So maybe you work for an organization or on a team, or maybe you're an individual sitting at home and you want training. The Evolve and Lead online training program has just been awesome. And it has a cohort for C-suite and middle management. There's a separate cohort with a little different content for frontline employees. As we mentioned, we need to have them. Leadership is a two-way street. We need to have them have more skin in the game and some better leadership skills for it so they're ready. And then lastly, because I suggest a way to use it. Let's face it, companies are busy. Hopefully they use it the way I say is best to use it, but it's theirs. They can use it how they want to use it. But there's a final section called the Leader's Library. And there's a section for shorter leadership lunch and learns where a team or individuals can watch it. And it's about 20 minutes long. They all start with a positive of the week, and then they can pick people to say theirs and get an applause. We get into the content and then ends with an activity. So it's a really cool thing to have people let me live in their pocket, you know, all the time or on their screen where I work all the time. And then, of course, there's an app where you can get a weekly quote or a weekly question to enhance work-life harmony as well.
Something for everybody, my friend.
Something for everyone. And I love connecting with people. So, you know, click the connect tab and, you know, you're a company or organization or a professional. I love to Zoom with you. I love meeting great people and building.
Love it. And it doesn't have to be difficult. Anyone listening, whatever device you're on right now, if you're comfortable with it, like info's in the show notes. You can comment on whatever post you found this. Or if you know me personally, reach out to me personally. I can help bridge that gap. I like to close out with something a little just fun, all over the place, rapid fire round. Andre, a lot of either or questions or fill in the blank. You can always just cross it out and say whatever you want. Let us start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
Do you have a favorite kind of animal?
Oh, man. I like puppies. but I do too much recording to have a puppy that barks in the house. So we're committing to getting a puppy later this year. I can't believe I'm saying it out loud. But if we don't do it by later this year, it's never going to happen. And I don't want to rob my family from it.
Let me tell you something about puppies barking in the house, especially when you're recording. I think that only endears you to the listener. It is endearing.
I like that, and I respect what you're saying. I'm ADHD, and so is my
son. Yeah.
Peripheral noise and movement drives me crazy because this may be endearing to the audience, but I'm thinking about two things while I'm speaking, and I don't like that. I want to be all in on what I'm talking about, and peripheral movement and noise is something that I still have yet to be able to overcome from an ADHD perspective.
Dude, I hear you. I live next to a stop sign, and we've got two dogs, a girlfriend, and her two teenagers. So peripheral noise is something that I deal with on a day-to-day. So I hear that. Let's ask a bit of a bigger question. Who is your hero today?
Everyone. I have been asked this question. Everyone, because I believe and I have learned from every single person that I have come into contact with, whether it's somebody that I can learn what to do or I've learned what not to do. So every single person, I've had great conversations with my father, obviously, people 10 years my senior in my profession. I've had conversations with people that have just got out of jail, had no job, that I just gave 20 bucks to, and we sat on the bench and spoke for 20 minutes. So every single person is my hero because every single person has a story, lessons learned, and has a book in them. They just haven't written like I have.
All of us listening, we got a book in us. We are all heroes in people's lives. I want to ask one more, and I actually want to challenge you to pick one or two. You can't say everyone in this one. Proudest moments in your life.
Proudest moments in my life. I'll start with one. I was 15 years old. I left 10th grade at one high school with 4 F's, 2 D's, and a C. And I never forget showing my mom my report card. And she had this look of confusion on her face, like she never saw the letter F before. So I transferred to my neighborhood school. It's 11th grade. I get kicked off the team the day before the game. I'm starting running back and linebacker. I cry like a baby. I couldn't play because of my grades, obviously. I joined a semi-pro team. Didn't get paid, so I can return to high school the next year. And I played with a bunch of 20-year-old and 30-year-old men in a semi-pro league. And we were the Northwest Giants. And all of the uniforms were authentic. So we looked like the Giants. We played the Steelers under the lights. We played the Eagles in the playoffs. So my proudest first moment is I was put into the game as a running back, and I scored my first touchdown ever against the Raiders, semi-pro, against the Raiders in the snow in the playoffs. And I remember my teammates chanting my name. I'm 15 years old. 15 years old, 160 pounds, soaking wet. They picked me up. I could hear them cheering, and I saw my dad in the stands run down and jump over the barrier to come onto the field. So that was my first major, like, proud moment. That was really, really cool. Another proud moment, I guess, was I have a lot of them, like, professionally, like, you know, creating the app and, you know, the books coming out. And those are all super proud. But I almost died in February 13th, 2013. And I laid on the floor dying. I was in and out of consciousness. You know, it was a really bad situation. Perforated ulcer. My kidneys had shut down at about 20%. But I didn't know that then. All I knew, I was dying. And on that floor, I had two thoughts that were going through my mind. Number one was, does my wife know how much I love her? And two, do my kids know enough that if I died right now, that they'd be sad, but they'd be okay? And, you know, obviously I'm here. I made it. The doctor said I am a medical miracle. And we talked about what that meant. But I was so proud of what I was thinking in death that that's what I must live every day. Mm. You know, so I need to love my wife. And, you know, not have the feeling of love. That's nice, but do the commitment of love. Like I said, I'm divorced and remarried. And I told my wife, I'm never getting divorced again. We together. But I need to love her, not only the way I want to, but also the way she needs. And as it changes over time, and that's also within me to give. Okay. And my kids. You know, I was proud that my kids were in my mind and me teaching them and raising them and leading them. And then they're going to do what they want to do. But I was very, I guess I was proud of that.
Thanks for coming on. Andre, I want to make a commitment 40 years down the road. You got to FaceTime me or whatever we're using. And I want to see you walking down that grocery store holding your life.
Hugging and squeezing.
I appreciate you coming on. Tell us once more, so I'll make sure it's in the timestamp. And guys listening, there's a timestamp that if any particular part of this was most impactful for you, you can just go to the timestamp and re-listen to that specific part. So I can add it to the timestamp. But what's the best way to support you again?
Visit my site. So youevolvingnow.com, Y-O-U evolvingnow.com. And find something that's for you, you know, reach out, you know, questions or to Zoom. And I look forward to being of impact. My biggest thing, the way I can support you, is allowing me to be of impact in some way, shape or form in your life. So that would be the best.
Thank you for taking the time today, man. It's been such a pleasure. We'll have you back. If you want to come back, we'll have you back. I want to make it happen.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Andre.
Thanks so much, Ben. And guys, have an awesome day and enjoy your evolution.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.